Lawrence.
You know what that reminds me of? Well, my months of having a bright orange glow on the side of my rental house, inside of my rental house, but also producer Dave. He put that together. I have no idea how producer Dave is. I wish I did. But he and his family moved to Connecticut to take a new job. And once or twice, I think we texted after he left, but we've not kept in touch. And I miss producer Dave. I hope that he is doing well. Gosh, there have been so many producers who've come through here. Let me see if I can remember them all. Tom, two different Toms. Tom, Anthony, Pete, Tom, Chris, Dave, Jay. You're number eight. How does it feel to be number eight on the list?
Did you miss a Tom in there? Or
No. So Tom DiBenedetto started with me on the weekends when the show was first christened After Hours. And Tom DiCelestino was our, this is when we had two people behind the double pane glass. He was our technical director. Then when Tom DiBenedetto left for a different job, DiCelestino took over as, it sounds like a real estate agent, DiCelestino took over, or an attorney, as the producer. But then when we went to five nights a week, DiBenedetto came back as my producer. And so we've worked together for the most, he's with Jim Rome now, but we've worked together for the most number of shows and most number of years. Gosh, we were together for almost 6 years total. So, I mean, that's a pretty long-lasting relationship in this business. You only got 1 year in.
1 year in. There's 1 year in a couple days.
There's no way you last till six. There's absolutely no freaking way.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that I'm sure that you'll have something else that you'll want to do and you will move on. Or we'll both move on. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine me still doing this in 6 years either. That's nearly unheard of in our business as well. So I can't foresee the future. I can't jump the gun. I'm here until I'm not. But I do know that I have dreams and aspirations like most people do. And this is not, actually, I never intended to be a talk show host. This was never the dream. It was never the goal. I just happened to be really good at it and have worked really hard at it. But yeah, I don't actually know when or how much longer or where or anything like that. Only that I'm confident my road in radio doesn't end in this spot. But don't you worry. You'll be the first to know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also, producer Jay, I've not cried when any other producer left, but I'll definitely cry when you leave.
Well, thank you for that, I suppose.
You're welcome. Also, you're going to cry because there'll be no more desserts.
But if you leave before me.
Yeah.
You're going to leave me.
No, I would give you the opportunity to come with me.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. You would just miss the desserts. That would be the thing.
Oh, well, I would miss them, but no, I'd miss more than desserts. But that would be up there.
He'd miss the desserts and the fact that I make him put together, or I ask him to put together.
What other host am I going to have a catch with it between
pretty
breaks, you know?
Pretty extensive audio list. Yeah, it's two nights in a row that we haven't mentioned it. Last night you were stressed. And
I did have my glove, though, last
out
night.
Of sorts. You never mentioned it to
I know.
Me.
It was
and
a rough one, but I
tonight,
didn't have it.
That's me. Although only one of us gets to actually be stressed without...
We trade off.
No, I don't think that's the case. But the difference between me and you is that when you're stressed, you can be stressed behind the double pane glass, and it's not likely to affect the show. It affects me, but it's not going to affect the show. When I'm stressed, I have to figure out a way to stuff it because the show has to go on. I learned early in my career, no one really wants to hear about your stress and your bad day, and you have to learn how to check your emotions at the door. I never thought I could do this because I'm a really emotional girl. I'm one of those people. I'm generally a pretty extreme emotional person. And so I never thought that I'd be able to walk into the studio and just boom, like that, put everything aside. But after 20 plus years, I actually am way better at it than I ever would have anticipated, even to the point where I could work when I knew my Grammy was only a couple of days from passing away, and have still been able to work in the 6 weeks since she did pass away, even though it feels like a completely different person. I'm one person at work and I'm another person at home, but I don't know when I got to be so good at it, but I certainly have mastered the art. So yes, even though all hell breaking loose behind the scenes is not my favorite, it generally doesn't affect what's happening on the air, which is good. That's good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We will get to football coming up this hour. We've got pretty much news from every single team. Okay, that's a high standard. We don't have news from every single team, but we are going to dabble around the NFL, which will be fun. But I thought we would take a quick detour off the information superhighway or off the NFL superhighway and give you the latest from the PGA Tour. Mostly because I love the response of the LIV Tour, but in order to set it up, I've got to give you the PGA Tour. So there's two things going on here. You may have heard about the virtual excursion, the virtual extravaganza that Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods are launching together. So that's cool. We'll hear Rory talk about that in a second. If you're into that stuff, I'm not, but I know that things like the NBA 2K are really popular. I mean, I get it. There is an entire market out there for competitive gaming. It just doesn't happen to be something that I'm into, but I know a lot of people are. So Tiger and Rory are actually teaming up together to launch this virtual PGA Tour. But at the same time, the PGA Tour itself is still fighting off overtures to its golfers from the LIV Tour, trying to make their tour more attractive to the top golfers on the planet. And there are certain ways that they are trying to keep the PGA the best option. I don't have to say much more except that ka-ching is definitely something that they're pouring a lot of effort into. The purses. If you wanted to know honestly how much of a threat the PGA believes the LIV Tour is, all you got to do is look at the extra money they're pouring into their events. So the PGA and Commissioner Jay Monahan can tell you that it's just a startup, that there's no competition, there's no comparison, and then denigrate the LIV Tour and where the money comes from. But you also have to look at the actions that the PGA is taking. Actions to make its tour a little more attractive with a few extra enticements. And those come in the form of increased purses, increased prize money. Now, you remember last week, Tiger Woods flew in to co-host a players-only meeting at the BMW Championship, one of the stops on the FedEx Cup playoff circuit. Tiger's, according to the reports, Tiger's big push was, or his big pitch was, loyalty to the PGA. The ability to participate in majors. And most of the top players in the world were in this players-only meeting. And according to Rory McIlroy, who was just in awe of Tiger, he says that the top players in the world are making a commitment to get together more often and figure out a way to make their golf, their brand of golf, more attractive, more compelling. And so they threw out a lot of ideas. You may have seen some of the ideas that were reported out there on Twitter and on the web and other places. And so to that end, the PGA Tour has kind of been encouraged. Jay Monahan, who's the commissioner, was part of a meeting the next day. And now a week later, after they've done their brainstorming and put their heads together, the PGA Tour is announcing 4 more events with $20 million purses for each one of them. These are called elevated tournaments that feature the best players in the world. And now with the additions, they've got a dozen of these on the tour schedule next year. Again, so it's the top players in the PGA Tour. They call these elevated events. And the purses, this is total purse. So the winner doesn't make $20 million, but all of the golfers who get a piece of the pie, generally it's the golfers who make the cut. Not sure how they're going to divvy up the money here, but it's everybody together. They're going to win $20 million in these elevated tournaments. And the idea is that you make the tour and the tour stops more attractive to the best players on the planet. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, you got to be eligible, which, of course, makes for better competition if it's the best players in the world. But what came out of this players-only meeting is that the best in the world, the best of the best, are committing to some of these elevated events. Again, they're supposed to be more high stakes with the best competition, plus the majors, and then a few other of the high-profile events that are on the tour schedule already, like Bay Hill, which is Arnold Palmer's tournament. And so they're trying to make it so that there's a greater concentration of the top players in the world at their marquee events. And there is a little choice. These top 20 players or whatever it is, they can pick and choose a few tournaments to round out their schedule, but they also have to commit to the ones that are on this list. The commissioner, Jay Monahan, was speaking on Wednesday, and he says, "Our top players are firmly behind the tour, helping us deliver an unmatched product to our fans, who will be all but guaranteed to see the best players competing against each other in 20 events or more throughout the season." So again, what they're trying to do is to guarantee the fans and their TV partners that the best players in the world will all be present at the marquee events on tour, and that they'll all compete in at least 20 tournaments or more throughout the season. But 20 would be the baseline. Thinking, of course, that not only appeases the sponsors after some of these big name golfers have departed for the LIV Tour, but also would be more attractive to fans if you knew that the top golfers were going to be at this event or that event. And so after all of this, players only meeting, a meeting with the commissioner, the brainstorming, the designing of essentially it's almost a revamped PGA Tour schedule, a revamped PGA Tour system. LIV golf officials released a statement. Can I read it to you? I promise it won't take long. I'm pretty sure this is Bryson DeChambeau who wrote the statement, but I wouldn't be surprised if he and Greg Norman are collaborating. It's short and sweet. You ready? LIV Golf is clearly the best thing that's ever happened to help the careers of professional golfers.
Super awesome.
That's it. That's the whole statement. LIV Golf is clearly the best thing that's ever happened to help the careers of professional golfers. And let's be honest, they've got a point. Well, they, meaning Bryson and Greg Norman. I'm confident. It might even be Bryson and Brooks and Greg Norman. But that dry humor, that sarcasm, although there it definitely is an element of truth to it, that sounds like Greg Norman to me. Maybe it's above him to write statements, but...
I don't think so.
I bet he's got some input. It could be Bryson as well. Live Golf is clearly the... Who uses clearly? Live Golf is clearly the best thing that's ever happened to help the careers of professional golfers. Because, why? The guys who actually leave for the Live Tour, well, they're getting signing bonuses. In some cases, nine figures. Nine. Yes, right? 3, 6, 9. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not all of them, obviously. But in some cases, the reports have been nine figures. At the very least, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars simply in signing bonuses, not to mention how massive the purses are for the Live events. And then, in addition to that, not only are they making money for their own golfers who've made the jump, and the reports are, after the Tour Championship in Atlanta, well, it's East Lake, Georgia, but after the Tour Championship comes up this weekend, there's going to be another seven golfers who make the jump to Live. And I don't know if the reports are true about Cameron Smith, the Open Championship winner, but he's Australian, and Greg Norman's his idol. So if Greg Norman comes calling and says, hey, Cam, we really want you on the tour, we'll pay you X amount of money, it's hard to resist. But regardless, Liv's not done. They're not done recruiting. They're not done luring golfers away from the PGA. So the statement that Live Golf makes is true, not only for the guys who've made the jump, but for the guys who are remaining with the PGA Tour. Why? Because the purses are growing. Because the system itself is now being redesigned in part by the golfers. Isn't that what Phil Mickelson was complaining about? Partly. Phil Mickelson was complaining that it was more of a dictatorship and that the PGA itself, the commissioner, was not listening to the concerns, the input of the golfers. And so Liv Golf has a point. This statement is accurate in many ways. Live Golf is clearly the best thing that's ever happened to help the careers of professional golfers. Not only does that statement refer to those who are now on the Live circuit, which, by the way, they'll be in Boston. I think it's next weekend they'll be in Boston. But it's also boosting the careers and the purses, the money available, the freedom available for those who've chosen to remain on the PGA Tour. Bryson DeChambeau has a point. Or Greg Norman has a point. The Stars are committing to 20 events to be sure to attract the fans to their marquee stops. The money, the purses, all of a sudden they're bloated. And so, yeah, none of that happens without the Live Tour. Live Golf is clearly the best thing that's ever happened.
Let it go, dude. Let it go.
I feel. Yeah, they're going to be in Boston, not this weekend, but next weekend. And here's the thing. The timing, this is, and I don't know the names of the other six. The only name I've heard out there is Cameron Smith. But there are reportedly seven other golfers, seven if you include Cam Smith, who are going to leave the Tour Championship in Atlanta and go right to Boston to play in the next Live event. And as soon as they would tee off in Boston, they then are suspended by the PGA Tour. So I don't know who those names are. I don't even know if the report is accurate. It's mostly coming from the Telegraph, which is based in London. And so we'll see. That could be the next big bombshell, right? The PGA is trying to head it off at the pass. They're trying to keep their best people. But it took the threat of the Live Tour for them to get it, for them to listen to the players. And that's not even the virtual part. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm pretty sure it's Bryson. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. We've got some QB news coming up, of course. That's always fun. I mean, there's a lot of it. And also the NFL world, the football world, remembers a Hall of Famer. And a photo that you would never, ever see from inside a locker room today. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I mean, he's the hero that we've all looked up to, and his voice carries further than anyone else's in the game of golf. You know, and his role is navigating us to a place where we all think we should be.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods teaming up to try to rally the troops in the PGA. Players only meeting last week, and it was followed by yet more changes to try to keep the world's best golfers as PGA Tour members and keep them satisfied. So they're not looking around at what the LIV has to offer. And that includes richer purses and a renewed commitment, strength in numbers, if you will, to the top events by the top 20. The idea that there are about to be another half dozen, maybe more, golfers bolting at the end of the Tour Championship, no doubt has rattled the PGA. They've seen the reports. Maybe they even know who the next round of golfers to bolt will be. I haven't seen a list. I've only seen Cameron Smith. And maybe it's not true. But man, a little competition has clearly forced some change for the PGA. And I will say this, two things. I've been saying it all along. The LIV Tour couldn't have paid for publicity like it's gotten over the last 7 months. But also, the PGA commissioner can say whatever he wants about this little startup tour, not being a concern. The PGA is clearly superior. But all of these changes tell a different story. Maybe, just maybe, the PGA Tour was asleep at the wheel. Maybe, just maybe, the PGA Tour got too big and too bloated and thought that there could never be competition that would shake their foundation or rattle their core. All these changes that we've seen in the last couple months tell you that the PGA was not prepared for competition and had to step into the 21st century, so to speak. 855-212-4227. Steve is listening in Cleveland. Steve, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, and thank you, Amy. Thank you, producer James. I just wanted to say, just hearing from what the reports have come out, I've followed golf all my life. I live in a golf household. It reminds me so much of when Pepsi started to make that surge in the 80s to take on Coca-Cola, where Coke had an opportunity to buy out Pepsi twice and refused because they're like, no, that's a terrible business model. We don't want that company. But then Pepsi says, you know what? We're just going to go right at them and say we're better than them. And that's what the LIV has done, saying we're better for the players. They've gone for the players. They tried to go for the PGA. But now they go for the players and saying, the players say we're better now. And that's the appeal. And that's what I've kind of noticed is it's going to turn into a Pepsi versus Coca-Cola kind of thing.
That's interesting. And, I've not heard that analogy, but you make great points.
So either that or it's going to turn into a terrible pyramid scheme and then players get hurt. But
no.
Hopefully it's the former. But I don't. Yeah, hopefully it's the former. But anyway, thank you for having me on. You guys do great work and have a good night.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that analogy. Mike is listening in Marietta, Georgia. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, good morning. Great show.
Thank you.
First of all, let's get this out of the way. Being an Atlanta guy, Coke is way better than Pepsi.
I would agree. Anyway. I'm a Coca-Cola girl myself. Actually, I'm a vanilla Coke girl myself.
So, look, for me, jealousy is one of the ugliest, biggest turnoffs in a partner or in a business relationship that I could ever want in whoever I'm with. Listen, the PGA is operating out of a position of fear here, not power. If it was me from the get-go, I would have been like, all right, boys, let's go. You know, you have a Liv's tournament this weekend. We're having our tournament. Sign up for whichever one you guys want to, and we'll put on better tournaments and better product. Have at it. Let's go. Let's do this. This is called capitalism, right? I mean, this is what drives a better product.
Agreed. And that's what we're getting from the PGA moving forward, right? Is they're trying to figure out ways to make their product more attractive, not only to their corporate sponsors and to fans, but also internally. And that would not have happened. They would just be resting on their laurels and being all fat and happy had it not been for the LIV Tour.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, I don't know why we got to have contracts or why we got to have why we got to ban them. This week, why can't I just have a guy playing the LIV tournament because, you know, this is closer to my house or I like this tournament this weekend or this course or this location, whatever, and next weekend I play in a PGA tournament. To me, the PGA just seems old and white and scared. Their product on TV, listen, I'm not a huge golf guy. I was the Tiger golf guy. I would watch it when Tiger was on late on Sunday. But the product just kind of seems old and tired, kind of the way I'm a huge baseball guy, huge baseball fan. Look, baseball is in the same kind of scenario here. Look, I got young kids, and they get mad and walk away from the TV when they see four pitches that are clearly in the strike zone. And we have technology that gets it wrong. He's like, all these kids and this new generation, they're like, we cannot get this wrong. You know, we got to get it right. We have the technology for the automated strike zone. So baseball, I think, is kind of hearing some of that. For the product for golf, I'm just kind of tired. It needs to be more modern.
Well, they're working on that. They're working on trying to make it more attractive. But, Mike, as you're talking about why can't these golfers pick and choose, the first thing that comes to my mind is, I don't know, are you in an open marriage? Do you want your wife to pick and choose just, like, whenever? I mean, there is something to be said for...
I started out this call by saying I don't like jealousy.
That's
I'm
gross.
Strong and confident.
No.
I'm strong and confident.
Okay, I got you, but that's still, no, gross. I mean, there is something to be said for commitment, and the PGA Tour, the golfers are PGA Tour members. I don't necessarily agree with indefinite suspension, but I do think that you can't always have your cake and eat it, too. I mean, there's something to be said for protecting your product.
If you're happy... You'll be more committed to my product I'm putting out if I'm putting out a good product. Eventually, you will say, hey, you know what? That's not for me. I kind of like this lane a little better. And you'll stick to this one company. You won't dibble and dabble. You know what I mean? You will pick a side.
Right, but it's still,
that's my point.
Right, and the PGA is forcing them to pick sides, is my point, because they're watering down their own product and hurting their own product if they allow these guys to go back and forth. I mean, so it's not altruistic. It has nothing to do with where the LIV money is coming from. No, it has to do with if you can get the same level and the same competitive golf with the LIV Tour, then the PGA is not as attractive or exclusive anymore. So I understand why they're making guys pick or choose. I certainly get that. It's all based in competition, though. It's not as altruistic as they would like to make us think.
And in other news, that Saudi money, that may not be not exactly what you want to be aligned with, right?
Mike. I've said this before.
Mike.
Okay, can you pot him down, please? I've said this before. I haven't said it this week. I'll say it again. That same Saudi investment fund has a massive stake in Uber. So are there those of you out there who are never taking Uber again because the money is backed by this Saudi Arabian government fund? Probably not. it makes me smile when people pick and choose how to be moral about the money. We use Saudi Arabian oil in this country. So, it's not that I am telling you that it's, that there isn't anything to be upset about, only that if you're going to draw a hard line in the sand, well then, how about draw a hard line in the sand with all of the other sports and American companies where the Saudi money is also invested. I appreciate your phone call, Mike. Thank you. I got to let you go because we're running a little bit late here. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
We have been jammed with phone calls tonight. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. First of all, I just want to tell you, a woman with sports, oh my goodness.
Boom!
What a pleasure it is to talk to you. I tell you, whenever I can't sleep during the night, I turn CBS Radio on. This program tonight is probably one of the best things I've ever heard.
I'm literally sitting in my vehicle just listening, and I'm like, why have I not been living life listening to Amy's show more often? I feel like I'm robbing myself.
You're part of the club now.
And there we go.
Totally won me over. I listened last night, I heard two great reasons, and then tonight it got up to like 7 and 10, and I was like, she's on fire.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad we can keep you company.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS. Passenger side.
To get to QB News, I wasn't planning to spend an entire hour on golf, but I appreciate that you all are engaged in this. And that's really the idea now for the PGA Tour. How do we keep the top golfers in the world engaged and committed? And how do we keep them from looking elsewhere? How do we keep them from discovering or believing that the grass is greener on the other side? And so you can laugh at that succinct statement from the LIV Tour, but it's accurate, is it not? It sure the heck is. LIV Golf may very well be the best thing that's ever happened to the careers of professional golfers, if you measure it, via the almighty dollar. I mean, that's obvious. Everyone is going to get richer in the golf world because of the money that's been infused into the sport by the LIV Tour. I guess there are other ways to debate it, but I'm not sure any of these guys are going to tell you they want to make less money and if they can make more money and be on the PGA Tour. Now, we're talking about the top 20, the best in the world. I don't know what this means for the rank and file. I don't know what this means for the majority of golfers who are not making millions of dollars per year. Some of them may still choose to depart. And I'm very intrigued to see if there is actually going to be, I wouldn't call it a mass exodus, but another exodus of golfers once the Tour Championship is done this weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Let's talk to Joe, who's in Cleveland. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, I like hearing all your about your dogs and your travels and everything, and it all sounds good. And wow, I love you, man. You're a rock.
I love
radio.
You, man, too. Thank you.
But anyway, let's talk about this PGA Tour. And like, if all these golfers go for the LIV Tour, and they're all like the greats of the greatest, I would like to stay here and clean up on the PGA Tour.
Good point. I mean, that's right. Let all the top golfers in the world go to the LIV, because then there'll be more money and more opportunities for the rest of us.
They might make more, but I can settle for less, you know? And no, I win everything. A couple Masters jackets and, hey, things like that to put in my trophy case.
Do you think that's the case? Do you think there are a lot of the rank-and-file golfers, the lesser-known golfers, rooting for the top guys to leave?
I would hope so. If I was one, I would want to be there.
That's funny.
I'm the next to the top of the PGA Tour.
I never thought about it that way, but that is a very unique perspective. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Amy. Have a good night.
You too. Never thought about it that way. We know it's extremely competitive, though. We know just getting your PGA Tour card is a major feat if you're not one of those who is extremely gifted or wins right away on the PGA Tour. And so I can imagine some of these other golfers, I wouldn't call them no names because that's not fair. Someone knows their name, their names. But to call them more nondescript or the guys who are just, they're fighting for the scraps. They're not the top 20 or the top 25. They're, in fact, working just to get into and qualify for some of the major tournaments and then keep their PGA Tour cards. I can imagine they're psyched to see some of these top names depart because that leaves more money and more opportunity for them, for the rest of them. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. If you miss any of the show, including my conversation with former NFL Executive of the Year, longtime GM, now a general manager in the XFL. Boy, does he have some fun stories about The Rock, or as he calls him, DJ. Randy Mueller was with us last hour here on the show, and we would love for you to catch that on our podcast, On Demand, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Joe is in Massachusetts. Joe, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning.
Morning.
I believe referring to your last comment about the other players, what they're going to get paid and stuff. My understanding is that all players are going to on PGA Tour that have graduated from the Korn Ferry Tour are going to get a $500,000 minimum.
Right, an extra stipend for those who are not making the big bucks and finishing on the leaderboard, so to speak.
Right, yeah. As I was telling Jay, I tried many, many years ago to make the tour. I'm 63 years old now, and there were many nights I slept in my car because I couldn't afford to get the hotel room and all that. So I'm glad that they've stepped up and done this for the younger players.
True. However, I would say if you compare that to what LIV Golf is offering guys who are maybe not ranked in the top 20 or even the top 50, there are some who've departed for that reason because there is guaranteed money, there is a signing bonus that maybe is more than what they've made kicking around on the tour.
Yes, yeah, I have to agree with you there. My curiosity is also with this LIV tour is these contracts that these players are signing is I'm kind of curious how long of a contract it is.
That is a very interesting question. I don't know. I suppose we will find out. Do they get this type of money one time? Do they get this kind of money every time if a contract runs out?
Yeah, it could be a 10-year contract. You know, we just don't know. We haven't heard that.
Right, that's true. And I suspect that more details will come out. But, you know, the LIV Tour is expanding. They're adding more events. The PGA is obviously been awakened from its long slumber and is recognizing that there is a danger here that they're going to lose. Well, they've already lost some of their top names. A danger that they need to protect against. So it almost seems like if you think about some of the comments that Phil Mickelson made, that the PGA is actually proving him correct here because he was talking about how it's just this behemoth and the PGA commissioner wasn't listening to the players and wasn't kind of updating or considering their needs or some of their ideas. And now here the PGA has no choice but to respond or they're going to continue to lose people, continue to lose big names.
Yeah, they do have to step up to the plate because we let's face the fact that the PGA Tour is making boatloads of money from these sponsors of these golf tournaments, you know,
right,
whoever it may be, insurance companies or whatever. And they're making a ton of money off these people. So, yeah, they need to step up.
Mm. Well, I appreciate that point, Joe. Thanks so much for listening.
All right. Have a good day.
So Joe refers to this earnings assistance program that is being launched by the PGA Tour for exempt members, those who've actually earned their tour card. And it guarantees a minimum salary of $500,000 per player. Now, if you receive that money, you're committed to a certain number of events, but the money is paid at the start of the season. You know what that is? That's the LIV model. The money is paid up front without you having to do a damn thing. It's a signing bonus for your name, for your skills. You want to talk about nearly unheard of. In fact, completely unheard of in the PGA. Do you know the golfers that don't make the cut don't get paid? That's how the model has operated for years and years and years. But now you've got guys who aren't making cuts who will receive stipends and will receive money up front. That's a huge shift. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.